raising kids and caring for parents. You have a couple of bullet points there under introduction. One is the increasing as parents live longer. Right now, the national average age is 79 years of age. The average age of parents' lifestyle, I mean living, longevity, there are many now living over 100. It's increasing. Now, the quality of life isn't all that great. And they'll tell you about that. It's not, the quality isn't all that great, but they're living longer. So you're going to have more and more of this kind of a situation of caring for your kids and parents. The increasing age that children are living at home. Yes, yeah. Or the boomerang kids, right? They leave and come back. Now, where they're saying the average teenage year, adolescence, ended at 18, not anymore. What is it now? 25. You know, oh, these, they're not growing up. So, like, you still, yeah, the gamers, but... You know, this is why if you don't hold children that they're in school or working, and if they're working, they also need to be paying some rent, that you don't make it a palace for them to stay at home. I mean, there are some who get everything they want, so why would you want to go live somewhere else? Some try it. They go out and go, man, it's expensive living out here, and they move back home. But there's always help and hope. And trying to deal with children and with parents at the same time because, again, of the gospel of Christ. And I put that in all my notes just because we have to be reminded ourselves. Daily, there is help and hope no matter what situation we face when we're in Christ. Now, some of the different commands and principles. 1 Timothy 5 is a pretty profound passage that talks about caring for parents and widows. And even enlisting family members who can help with widows. A widow would be over 60. I mean, where the church would actually get involved in caring for them as well. But 1 Timothy 5 is a passage about caring. Also, 1 Timothy 5 verses 1 and 2 talk about how to respect those who are older than you. Remember talking the older women, treating them like mothers. Treating the older men like fathers. So there's a respect. Honor never stops. You know, honor and obey your parents. The honor never stops. The respect. Ephesians 6:1 is the verse I'm referring to there, and out of Exodus 20 as well. And then Ephesians 6:4, we've already talked some about that passage. Don't be provoking them. But bring them up in the training, discipline, and instruction of the Lord. That's how you care for your kids. So you have your kids on one hand, you have parents, and caring for them on the other. Now here are some challenges involved. It's about being a faithful parent and a faithful child to your parents. It's about being faithful, not being perfect. You're not going to please everybody, and I put that there. You're going to be you need to be pleasing God. When it doesn't please people. And I mean, if you're saying what we're doing, mom and dad or one of the parents is just thrilled about it and our children are thrilled about it, boy, ride that one. That's a tailwind that you rarely get. So when that breeze blows where everybody's pleased, thank you, Lord, but tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. You know, just kind of don't expect everybody to be happy and pleased. But first, being a faithful parent and a faithful child to your parents that you're seeking to please God. Then it's prioritizing. Prioritizing is not one, two, three. If you think in those kind of categories, you're going to have real trouble living a faithful life. God's first, you know, my wife's second. My children are third. If you think categorically in numeric order as priorities, life doesn't work that way. right? Christ is central to everything I do. For me to live is Christ, and everything out of the hub, spokes go out of the hub. Yes, my wife is very, very important to me, right? One flesh union. But what if you have a child who needs constant care? You know, you dare not want to put on her, you know, I'm number two, not our child. It depends on the moment of what's the priority. And yes, the big movie strip picture, you could see the priorities, but at the moment, it's almost more in concentric circles. It's in the moment, what's the priority? After a wife comes home with a newborn, there's quite a bit of attention and priority of caring for the newborn. And there might be others that are, quote, neglected in the home. Well, that's to be expected. She can't be saying, well, let the baby, you know, starve. It's couch time with my husband, and we're going to sit and talk. Does that make sense, though? I mean, you get into this because a person works 8 to 10 hours at a job does not mean that's the most important in his life, and he spends maybe a half hour to an hour talking to his wife at night. And it does not mean one's over the other in time and attention at times. So when you're prioritizing, you have to be really careful not to think numerical, but at the moment, Lord, give us wisdom on how to be faithful in this moment to please God. Letter C, when falsely accused and blamed, and you will be, both from kids and from parents, you will be falsely accused. Jesus was falsely accused. The thing is, he was blameless. When under close investigation, you want to be blameless, literally to be without handles. There's nothing to grab onto in that person's life, but you will be falsely accused. Paul was falsely accused. And so when that happens and parents are saying this is what you're doing and not doing, it's gathering information, it's communication, and not returning evil for evil. That'll be the fleshly tendency. And Romans 12, a big passage that you can walk through helping individuals with is Romans 12, 9 through 21. It's all about how to love and care and not return evil for evil, but don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Live at peace with all men as much as possible. It's all those exhortations are right in that passage. It's how to deal with when you're getting blamed from both perspectives. Maybe kids are blaming you and falsely accusing. Now, one thing that will come up is manipulation. Parents can do that to their children, and children, they sort of are inbred because of depravity on how to manipulate mom or dad or both. Now I'm going to just talk a minute about manipulation. You have point one, point two, and that's how Jesus handled manipulators. So I'll get to those two. I just want to talk about manipulation because it's around us. A dictionary definition of manipulation. And this is Webster's dictionary definition. To manage or to utilize skillfully. That's a key word. Really skilled people on this one. To manage or utilize skillfully. To control or play upon. By artful, unfair, or insidious means for one's own advantage. Boy, isn't that, I mean, that says it all there. They are skilled at this. This is an art and how they can manipulate and get what they want. Kids do it. Parents do it.